you, Brother Ken, tonight, which is a pleasure for me. And I am Sister Luciana from Brazil. I have been having the pleasure to be working with Brother Ken and also living in the same center as him for the past 41 years. Brother Ken was the one who started service in Brazil. And all of you know already about Brother Ken, but just some drops of information about him. Brother Ken was born in Australia.
Very interesting.
In his young age, he left his country and traveled around the world for about 2 years. While living in London, one of his friends started to come to the Rajoga Center. And Ken one day asked him where he was going so early. And Charlie, his friend, invited him to come along to the meditation center. So Ken came straight into the Murli class. And in the first day that he met Daddy Junkie in Tenson Road, in the middle of the stairs, Daddy Junkie was coming down the stairs and Ken was going up for the Murli room, for the class. Daddy Junkie told Ken that he would be going around the world giving Baba's knowledge. That was the first day, first moment that Daddy met Ken. At that point, Ken didn't know even who Baba was. Ken also has many specialties related to this aspect that Daddy gave him this blessing, that he would be going around the world imparting knowledge. I don't know if you know, but till Ken has written, Ken wrote the first book of a Westerner in Gyan, that it was officially accepted by the Yagya New Beginnings. Till then, just Jagdish Bhai was the official spoken person for the Yagya, and he was the only one who to have written books of Gyan. So Ken was the first one, and not just the first one to write the first Gyan book that it was published by the Yagya, but Ken was the first one that published a book by a Lokic publisher that went around many bookshops in Brazil. And now Ken has 19 books published in 8 different languages, like English, Portuguese, Spanish, Korean, and Japanese, and whatever. And Ken presently has his own page in YouTube that is called To Live and Meditate, which is in Portuguese, English,
Live and Meditate,
which is in Portuguese, English, and Spanish, and Ken publishes 2 messages a week in each one of these languages. So Ken is very much involved with Baba's knowledge, and I'll ask some questions, and definitely if you have some questions afterwards, you're most welcome. My first question is exactly about knowledge, because it's not just Daddy Junkie who mentioned this to him, but once Baba meeting Ken and Charlie, Baba said that Ken would, and Charlie would be creating a motor a minute, meaning at that time Amy Ford was the founder of the Ford cars, had this motto, a car a minute. So meaning that they would create many heirs. And so Ken, what is the relationship that you have with Baba's knowledge? What does the knowledge mean to you? And especially living with you, I see that you have so much interest in the knowledge. What methods do you use to churn the knowledge?
First of all, thank you for coming here, and also thank Luciana for thinking about some questions. when the first group of foreigners were celebrating 10 years in Gyan, Baba met that group in Om Shanti Bhavan, 1985. And for each one he met, and one of the difficulties that we have a lot is to understand what our speciality is, right? Sometimes it's a big deal. It's like in the Lokic world, they're trying to understand what their purpose in life is. So when it came to my turn, Baba said to me, you like an image, don't you? And it's true. It's like it's been a fascination for me, mainly because I had to figure it out. Because when I came along, only after 3 months staying here in London, I went back to Australia and I was virtually alone. And I had to figure it out, because after a couple of weeks even, I had to try to understand. The centre left me, I didn't leave the centre. It just folded up and they packed everything up and there was no centre anymore. So I was alone, and there was nothing in English, much, except this book of the one-week course of Jagdish Bhai, which is about, you know, how Shiva's not Shankar, and all of these things are extremely relevant for Westerners. So I had to sit down and think, okay, how to explain these things to others. Like Baba says, so for me, journey has always been about how can I understand this well enough so that I can explain it to others in a way that they will understand. So that's firstly the main attraction. How can I make this more understandable for myself, more workable for myself, and more explainable to others? And a lot of the way that we do the course now is from those early meditations, you know, like I sat down, I was like, I guess Baba, when he was trying to figure out the cycle, he used to draw on the wall, right? I started to work out how the mind and the intellect and the sanskars work together. So I ended up doing this cycle, you know, the process of the self. Now that sounds right, and then later on I said, no, this doesn't sound right. But I think that Baba gives a lot of freedom to understand things. So that's always been a very open, so open and so vast and so deep that you can ask question and then go into another question, go into another question. So I always had a fascination for churning knowledge and making it more understandable, even in any way, you know. All of us can do it if we work on it, like think up 10 points on a particular topic. I can sit down and look at the movie and they're breaking their heads trying to work out titles for the weekly lectures, but in one movie I can find 20 titles straight away. This one, this one, this one, this one. And so it's like the fascination for being able to churn. The invitation is always there from Baba to churn and to make things associate with other things. And what has this got to do with work? What has this got to do with leadership? What has this got to do with the mind? How come the intellect is like that? So anything that comes from a Gyan just sparks off a whole process in me. It's quite easy. Quite easy. So I love it.
So.
Okay. 100 people. Hello, 100 people watching already.
It was about, I think, 3 weekends ago, or maybe 4 weekends ago, on a Sunday morning that Baba mentioned you and Charlie in the Murli, and Baba mentioned about the humility that both of you had, and I can assure about this because living and staying with you for so many years, I can see that your humility not just has been instrument to expand service in Brazil, but also in other countries in South America and Latin America. But another result of this humility, I see that is this unity that there is amongst the family, the members of the family in Brazil. How do you see that? Do you see this humility which seems like natural to you? And how do you see this connected with unity? Because I see some kind of unity in the UK as well. But in some other parts of the world, not necessarily it's a natural thing. Unity is something that people don't experience much in some of the Brahmin family in other places. So how do you connect this humility with the unity that is so important for Baba?
As you say, it seems natural. I think I have no illusions about myself, in the sense that Baba is the one. Baba is the boss, and he's the one that I don't really know much at all. And I think that it does create a sort of an ease of relationship with others when you're not just showing off or something. And for me, it seemed natural. Maybe it's because, like all of us, we've been through a lot in this birth and other births, that we really can't, you know, any. There's a recognition that any knowledge or any wisdom that the soul has is not exactly because the soul is what it is. It's because Baba has touched something in us. And I think Baba works the magic in bringing souls together. And in fact, it's the only way that we can connect with others. We can't connect by comparison, because comparison always put one ego against the other. So one will be better, one will be worse. But in fact, for me, at a soul level, there's really not much difference between us. And related to Baba, Baba is the one, and we are many. But I don't think that I'm better than anyone else. I'm just different. That's all. That's probably part of it. And that creates a sort of an ease in the vibration, I think. So people don't become, like Daddy Ji used to say, maybe 5% of souls are not happy with anyone, no matter what you do. So you'll have those 5% most a lot. But the 95% are very easy to please, because they love God, and I love God. And so if I recognize who is the one that's giving me this knowledge, and the fact is that if there's any light that comes from the soul, it's not my own light, and Baba has been touching me, that makes people more easily coming together, it seems. But it's hard to, you know, it's hard for me to calculate, because if something is natural, you don't really realize that it's different from others. But also I think that I try to not see people's defects. I'm pretty successful about that. I very, very, very rarely will comment about people's defects to anyone. I can hardly remember doing that, actually. So that the humility, I think, gives a sort of an elevated vision of others, and that makes people come close, I guess.
Is that natural? Is
Is it natural for you not to see defects on others?
Natural. Natural.
Yeah, I can confirm this because, you know, I have seen some incidents when people have written some letter to Ken, and I remember this specific incident with this very difficult brother, that he wrote a letter with, you know, a lot of criticism and even some harsh words for Ken, and Ken just called me and showed me the letter, and I read the letter, and I said, how can he say like this and this and this and this, and then Ken just kept looking at me and just put the letter, you know, tear the letter apart and just throw the dustbin, didn't even turn around and didn't even, but I think also, Ken, I don't know if I'm right or not, a part of this lightness and easiness and not seeing anyone's defect, but you can also count with some kind of structure in Brazil that happens, helps you to be like that, because the way that we have been running the centers and have been structured helps you to be easy, because you don't have to administrate so much the situations, you know? You just have to deal more with the spiritual side of the Brahmin life.
That's true. Because from the beginning, luckily it was by chance that I was also helping organizations organize themselves. So I was a consultant for many years in organizational development. So I had a fairly good idea of how a structure should be. And of course, part of that was delegating as much as I could. And so as soon as I possibly could, Baba told me, put local people in front as soon as you can, because they know the place. You always be a foreigner there. Baba told me that. So they know. So putting local people in front and setting up a sort of a structure, which they came into, of course Luciana is probably the most able administrator I've ever seen. She absolutely, I think the only one who compares with her that I can see in the world is Sister Genty.
Okay.
The way that, like, she never doesn't answer an email, for example. Everything is very sort of, I wouldn't say it's natural, it's sort of not controlled, it's naturally under control. And so there has been a setup that such a, and we've replicated that in other countries as well, to the extent that, you know, once I asked Daddy, how come I'm in a role which is like looking after a whole region, and I'm not a sister, and I asked Daddy, how is it that I would do that? It's not really a brother's role. And she said, you are merciful. That's all she said. You are merciful. So there's one thing, that you have to have a structure, and that structure has to be worked at. At the same time, I'm also the president of the board, so it's not exactly I'm just sitting being spiritual. It's a pretty hands-on thing, and it's a big operation in Brazil. We've got 4 retreat centers, we've got so many properties and whatnot. But the people, especially Luciana and a few others, they're such capable people. So that you can really, as you say, you can be, you know, completely carefree, that things will go on pretty well. And very, very, the sort of problems that we hear in other places, we don't have. So you're part of the solution there, Luciana, not just me, though.
Nowadays, Brahmins are talking a lot about having friends and creating friendship with people and so on. And I myself find that important. but I see that you are not in your personality to socialize much. You are more like on having your own relationship with Baba and with Gyan, and always thinking about that. And you don't have much interest in socializing with other people unless it's necessary for service. Is it a natural trait in your personality, or do you think that it's some sanskara that came from any sannyasi's birth before?
No, I think even in this birth, the one before, just before I came to Ghana, I had a very, very deep love for silence. So if no one talks to me, I don't say anything. Maybe. If someone comes to me and talks, I'm not rude and say, I'm in silence, go away. No, it's natural. Interact, but if I don't have any, you'll probably very rarely will initiate a conversation. I'm more of a listener. And so, I don't know, it's probably could be related to other births, but I think it's most related to a love for silence. And, I must say that I don't really get into sort of frivolity. I can't get off on it. Know me? Frivolous behavior. So, I see people enjoy that sort of thing, but it's not my cup of tea. But it's a love for silence, I think. Not exactly to be alone, but often being silent means that you will be alone, because what are you going to say? But if I have to socialize, it means I have to meet people, I can sit down and have a, you know, if we're receiving guests or so on, I'm there. But if I don't need to, I don't miss it either.
Can I remember once, because just observing you and being in contact with you, I just made this question, just asked this question to you. Do you never have wasteful thinking, wasteful thoughts? And you answered to me, yes, I do. And I said, then what do you do about them? Because it doesn't look that you become worried or anything like this. And you just say, I just say to my thoughts to go away. And I said, just saying to your thoughts, wasteful thoughts to go away, do they go? And you answered, yes. I mean, how do you have that control and that discipline? How can you do that?
Well.
By the way, we haven't talked about the questions that I'm asking, okay? So he doesn't know the questions that I'm asking.
I mean, I think all of us, Baba said the other day, even that it's our biggest challenge to deal with thoughts. And I realize that it takes away my ability to serve more than anything. So it reduces my ability. So if I am preferring to be of use, then I have to do something about it. So that's what I try to do. Generally it works. I really have to be doing something creative to keep that happening. So if I go into a passive mode, then I can't really deal with it. So I have to be actively doing something creative. And in that, Baba, as the creator, is with us. So that creative energy starts to do something. So always I'm doing something other to create something. And even wherever I am even, so I can sit down, write down. I write a lot, actually. I write down lots of ideas, lots of thoughts. And always again connected with how do I explain this to myself and to others, and that keeps me busy. Because if I find myself being busy, then it becomes more difficult to control waste thoughts. I suppose you find that yourselves, right? So try to be in a situation, and in a way, mostly, except the last few months, I had some health issues. So generally, I had been traveling a lot, and almost every day there's something, some program, some talk, something I have to prepare for. There's a retreat coming up, for a long time, I was doing a retreat every weekend, for example. So naturally, I've already got a program for my thinking, in a sense. I have to think about this. How are you going to do this? How are you going to say that? So that's like a blessing. You know, opportunities are all scheduled in which I have to prepare for. So in preparing for them, I have the wonderful excuse not to think uselessly.
I have two more questions, so if you, after that, want to ask your questions, you are most welcome. But one question is about when you came into Dhyan, which was a few years before I came. I remember that you have mentioned to me a few times how brothers would not have the same chance as sisters in this organization. And especially Indian Bharatwasi sister. And you were doing a lot, but you didn't mind not to have the recognition, but you could see clearly that was something that happened in our organization. But with time, things changed, and especially you and Charlie and a few others are so much recognized, and by the Yagya and by the seniors. What do you see in yourself that got the trust from the seniors on yourself?
I guess on one side, I didn't have the expectation of having recognition, I guess. I think if you show results, they're undeniable, but undeniable, then people will recognize results. And so, what are the sort of results that Baba wants? He wants, I mean, this challenge that he put to the centers in the last Sunday's morning about having no obstacles, or any center within a region having no obstacles. I can't say that that's really true, but there are very few obstacles. And not really major ones, here or there. So that, I think, is a fair result. The creativity, also what creates trust, is also when you show something. And I've been in the meetings of the RCs for I don't know how many years we've been doing them. So in that group especially, you've got the senior the regional coordinators, and you've got people like Gayatri, Judy, Charlie, and a few others. There's a few that have been added on in the last few years. But in that group, working together with them for years and years and years, it does create a sense of closeness. And you learn to really understand how they think. And the last couple of years there have been also meetings between the RCs and the senior Indian instruments, which has also been eye-opening, because the the sorts of things that they talk about are the same that we talk about. So getting at the same level and being able to interact at a similar level without any labels, I think that gives people an opportunity to know how you feel and how you think, and they come to trust that. And of course, Daddy Janki has always been really a major figure. Obedience also, I guess. So a couple of times, you'll remember this, Daddy-ji wanted me to stay in Madhavan. Do you remember?
Not really.
Well, there was a sort of revolt from a few souls. How come you want to stay in Madhavan? He asked me in 1982 and 1984. And both times Daddy Janki came and said, nothing doing. You have to go there. And I said, okay. I mean, it would be lovely to stay in Madhavan, but if Daddy is saying to do something different, it's also okay. So I guess, you know, the sort of surrender that you have creates trust. The level of your surrender creates a trust.
Ken, one question that came when Sister Janki was recently in Brazil. She was there for a very brief time of 3-4 days. And I asked Sister Janki this question, if because just seeing all this problem of climate change and the things that are happening around the world, I asked her if she could see that the Brahmin family was ready to face destruction. And she said, no, the Brahmin family is not ready for that. Is not prepared for that. What do you think that is the most necessary thing for us Brahmins to develop to face destruction? Because it's not going to be easy, right? It's not going to be a small thing.
Yeah, I've been in a few near misses myself personally. And I feel that the Baba gives, the answer that Baba gives is to play with the bodiless state, to develop it, and to go beyond things very quickly if you can. So I've tested myself in a few situations. I was in an earthquake, for example, and I could see that wasn't at the time, I had a chance of either going to a state of panic, which everyone mostly did, or to remain calm. So I chose to be calm and understand what was going on, and that was useful. So at that time, I think we have to be able to not be affected by panic. To check yourself related to that, because it does create a fairly strong vibration panic. Yeah, even here I was in London once, and there was a time they were blowing up tube stations, the IRA, and I was coming into Baker Street, and there was an announcement over the loudspeaker system in the train. We have received information that there's a bomb in this station. Please, everyone, get off the train and calmly find your way out of the station. Of course, calmly, we're jumping on each other. My immediate thought was, well, if it's going to be an explosion, nothing I can do about it, but I'm not going to get into that mess of people jumping on each other to get out of the station. I'll go it the other way. Of course, it was just a false alarm. That moment of choice we have to work on. Either you go to the panic or you go to the state of calm where you can really, that sort of thing. And secondly, I think we have to relate it to being beyond the body, of course, being beyond attachments. So imagine yourself surrounded by people you may still have attachment for, and you see them suffering or see them leaving the body, how do you think it will be, right? Because we still have a very human grasp of those things. And what we're noticing at the moment is that people's families, because everything's becoming more and more Tama Pradhan, people's families are having harder times and getting more illness and so on. And we do find some brothers being sucked into that. Of course we have to help, but it doesn't mean we have to be sucked into it to the extent that we figure there are other higher responsibilities. So I think this year, that they asked me if I had any advice when I was online with Argentina at the beginning of the year. And I told them exactly that. Be careful, don't. Your families will start to go through difficulties more than, you know, and they don't have the gyan that you have. So be prepared. And keep your priorities right. So these are the sorts of things that we have to work on. Of course, leaving the body is not such a big deal, is it? Because we've done it so many times. We don't. It was such a bad leaving the body last time that we can't even remember.
I think that maybe not the question of leaving the body, but just the suffering, the bloodshed, you know, the violence and all of that.
Yes, it's not going to be easy. Yes, it's easy to see that the sorts of, this part of the world will probably be obliterated by nuclear war, right? But, pardon? Oh, big waves, yeah. So I can see Brazil's big major problem, big floods, because it rains so much, you know. Just in a few days, there were more deaths in one state than all those bushfires in Australia. You know, so nature has a very fierce form. The shaking and the fire and the water and, you know, and if we run, when there's a rain shower, they were afraid of a few heavy drops. How is it going to be if there's a tsunami, you know? So try to imagine situations in how bodiless you can be in those situations. It seems to help.
So maybe Brahmi should be practicing more of that, even like in the centers or in Madhuban, we should be more attentive to this type of practice, right?
Yeah. I think scenarios, thinking about the different scenarios and seeing, just checking yourself according to those scenarios, is useful.
I mentioned in the beginning how Brother Kiang has been instrumental to start writing books and opening a door for many others, like other writers in the Brahmi family, also to produce wonderful material that has been helpful to the Brahmi world and also to the world outside. But I don't know if you know that Brother Kiang has been one of the main instruments for us to get the Murlis free for download all over the world. For so long he has been insisting, and some of you remember the way that the Murlis were controlled and to the point that we couldn't leave a Murli batch, you know, on the sofa or in your house because it was like dangerous. No one can pick it up, no one can see it. So Brahmi has been one of the main instruments for us to have this free download today. And also Brahmi has been one of the main instruments for us to have non-chili food in Madhuban. For years he has been insisting, not that he doesn't like chili food, he likes, but he saw the problem that many of the foreigners had with chili food, isn't it, Ken? Can you share something about that?
I just remember going to the kitchen to show you how to cook with our spices, because it's not just chili, it's all the spices too. And they use a ton of spice, literally, you know. What we would use over 2 months, they put in one meal. No, I'm not joking. So, to show them how to cook food without the relish of spice, it's just a bit of salt. That was very unusual for them.
So, do you have any questions? My 8 questions have finished. I would like to ask some questions with you in a minute.
Mount Kent for many years. Just what thing you shared, Ken, that not seeing defect in others, or how you can see it, but not affect you in that way. Do you have any example which you came across, which you felt that, no, this is the right way to move? That's one thing. And the other one is you, in the beginning, we heard used to hear you singing, in Baba's song. Also. When was the first time you sang this Baba song?
Well, when I came to the end, as a musician, actually, that's when I was living in London, and it was always sort of very like jazz sort of music, you know, just impromptu improvising. I used to love improvising, and it seemed natural that if you had, the only thing that I consider myself as, really, and I used to enjoy when you come in your country and you fill in an immigration slip and they ask you what your profession is, I used to write poet. I never booked poet. Oh, really? Yeah. Because I really felt that it's so easy to use words in a loving way. In an interesting way, an artful way. It's like painting. You paint with words. So I used to love doing that. Still do, actually. A situation in which I learned about not seeing defects. Actually, there was when I was first doing service in Australia, I was looking after the centre in Sydney, and Charlie came back after about 18 months, and he came back and we started the centre in Melbourne. And in that year, Daddy Jake had, during all of this time, Daddy Jake was here in London, and she couldn't travel. Maybe you remember, she had visa problems or something. So the first trip out of after that period was in 1978, and she came to Australia. And I remember talking to her and telling her about the situation. A soul was really creating a lot of damage, I would say. And it was very clear that she wanted brothers out, right? It was a sister. So I was having very waste thoughts about this particular soul. And I was repeating, like many, many times it happened, this, I was repeating all of the nasty things that she did, and which were not true at all. And I said to her, you didn't say this. So I talked for about 10 minutes and all the stuff came out. And Daddy looked at me and said, yes, drama is beneficial, isn't it? And I didn't like that answer. I remember sort of walking around the planet. She, Daddy was in the center. She 3 years in Ghana. And I couldn't understand that phrase. I mean, after all, I spoke to her for 10 minutes and all she said to me was one phrase, not fair. But the next day in Annabella, I was sitting there and the whole scene came up in front of me, which actually had been beneficial. The whole story came out, every little lesson I had learned came out. Oh, that's right, I learned this one, I learned that one. So it seemed to me that it was better to think about what you learned from others rather than how bad they are. So it was an unforgettable lesson, actually. Okay. Anything else? I feel a little bit shy here because Miss Young is but just a few years younger than me, and she's vastly experienced, and here she is asking all of these questions when I am not a failure.
Yeah, different people, but one of the things that kept this unity in Brazil that I just mentioned is that though you have left me with the freedom to organize more of the administration of the centers in Brazil and everything, but I always consider you as my senior, and you have the last word, and I think that that also has been helping to have this unity, you know, because I know how nowadays people feel so against any feeling of hierarchy and so on, and of course, I'm not talking about that hierarchy that involves that authority, that coldness, that lack of dialogue or lack of respect. I'm not talking about this kind of hierarchy, but a spiritual kind of hierarchy, a spiritual kind of order is something that helps us so much. So now I am asking questions.
Okay. The thing is, this whole idea that we have of a hierarchy is like a pyramid, right? You've got a lot of people at the base, and then a few, and then a few, and then one at the top. I like to think of it upside down, that we have to support the people from underneath rather than give orders from the top. So that's absolutely how I think. So you will never find me being the, you say, authoritarian, never. Don't need to.
Any other questions? So maybe just a little bit of news. We came here for these 3 days. Tomorrow we fly back to, we fly to Bali. We have the Latin retreat happening there. It will be the 10th anniversary of the Latin retreat, and we have more than 100 souls coming. Latin countries involve also countries like Italy. We have for the first time Mozambique participating because they also speak Portuguese. So it will be a lovely experience, and then we stay for 3 weeks in London. Participate at the NCCC retreat, National Coordinators and Center Coordinators retreat. And then when we are back to Brazil, we are going to stop for 4 days in London, so you are going to see us again in March. So this is the plan. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That'll be good.
There is no plan of interview, but there is the invitation for the parents to invite to conduct the intensive, the Saturday intensive. So.
I think personally, I'm very dedicated. Person, the way that she does things, a very thorough. Sort of, I became amazed at how she can think of every little detail. And it's a great virtue because, especially when there's a big program on, like this Sister Jenkins visit and a retreat for 300 people, 300 BKs, and she was a coordinator of it all. And she had all of these little teams working, and there was not even one ruffle. How did you do that? How did you make that flow so nicely?
I think that in the same way that you like to turn I also like to do my planning. So
but the people who are happy doing everything, how did you manage that?
I think that in the same way I give responsibility to people and I trust them. But I also have this nature of supervising, not checking the sense of if they are doing right or wrong, but just to see how things are, if they have any suggestion that it's better than the one that I gave them. So I think that I like the planning, so I write on paper the full picture of how I feel.
Yes, when you see, when she sees something that's better than what she was thinking, she'll accept it, which is not easy to do. So I think that's certainly part of the reason why things flow nicely there, isn't it?
Maybe, yes. But we also have to recognize that we have a very nice team of very cooperative souls, and I think that that's also, you know, because it's not just a question of delegating, but you have to have people capable to receive the task and to realize, put it into practice. So we have very capable people.
As you know, see, I don't know if you know, but she's probably one of the ones that have more centers in one country in this, except for UK, maybe. And of course, USA, but after USA and UK, there's a Westerner, I'm saying, because in Malaysia they've got many centers, in Sri Lanka they've got many centers, but they're Tamils mainly. But there's a Westerner, probably the one that has most centers, and things are flowing. So, congratulations to this year.
Congratulations to both of you, actually, and to Lucinda. It's been our pleasure to have you here, even though it's a short visit, though. But it was lovely to have an insight of how both of you operate. It was a wonderful opportunity that Jono provided, because you know how Kenpai operates, and Kenpai knows how you operate. So it was just nice to see how everything works in Brazil. So thank you very much for this lovely evening.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll just have some meditation now, and then both of you can give some answers. Thank you.